Jose gave my message in Sunday school. Roger chose the hymn I was going to conclude with already. So I guess I need to give my introduction and close. It's hard to teach after Roger sings anyway. Today we're in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 2 and verse 5. We'll cover 3 and 4 some other day, if the Lord wills. But we want to look at bearing burdens. And there is an outline in your bulletin if you care to use one. And allow me to pray before we begin. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your amazing grace and your amazing love towards sinners such as us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to take upon himself human flesh and to dwell among us and to reveal your glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we pray that you would teach us of your Son today, that we might live lives that are worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus, and so bring honor and glory to your great and holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word burden? Maybe a beast of burden, or I don't know, depending on your growing up, you may have any number of ideas of burden. But one of the first things I think of burden when I hear the word burden is Pilgrim's Progress and Christian and the burden that he had and his intense need to get rid of it. So that he was willing to go through the Slough of Despond, and he was willing to head toward Mr. Interpreter's house when he met a man by the name of Worldly Wise Man who gave him a different way to get his burden off. If you will go up the hill to the city of Morality, there's a man by the name of Legality who has a son by the name of Civility. They will get that burden off your back. So he went up the hill. Until he thought the hill was going to fall on him. And then Evangelist meets him and tells him that there were three things that he was lied to about. Number one, he was told to go out of the way that he was initially told to go. Number two, Worldly Wise Man had made the cross odious to Christian, that there was an easier way to do it. You don't have to go to the cross. And the third thing that Worldly Wise Man told Christian was something like, you were directed in the wrong place. Mr. Legality and Mr. Civility can't remove the cross. Only Christ can remove the burden. Only Christ can remove the burden. And so we're going to look at burdens today, and burdens that we're supposed to bear and burdens that we're supposed to help others bear. And what's the difference? We looked at last time in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. This is a tough thing. This is a difficult request and command given to Christians. We talked about it at last week's Eat and Ask. who are we supposed to rebuke? Who are we supposed to take under our wing and restore in a spirit of gentleness? Everyone we see sinning? We don't want to be the sin inspector, the sin detective that stirs up all the dirt on people in order to rebuke them. That's not what Paul's saying at all. It probably has something to do with someone you're familiar with and someone who is destroying their own testimony and the testimony of Christ. It's probably a church issue more than just a single individual issue. But he says in verse 2, in light of that, to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. This word bear is the Greek word bastazo, which means to carry. You could put it in your hands and carry it. You could put it in a wagon and carry it. But it's something that you carry. Romans chapter 15, verse 1, has an interesting use of this verb. It says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to carry the weaknesses of others. Not condemn them, not rebuke them, not belittle them. If someone has a difficult time because of their upbringing with doing something that they're free to do because they're no longer under the law, Paul says, bear with them. Carry what they're carrying. Help them out with it. Don't destroy them. Help them. We who are strong, who understand that certain rules and regulations are no longer in effect, ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. We should be looking out for others and not for ourselves. So what are we supposed to be carrying? It says, bear one another's burdens. This word burdens is baros. It's a heavy, heavy load. So heavy that it's really not expected that any one individual carry it. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 12 gives an illustration of this. Jesus is telling a parable about an owner that sent out individuals at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day and promised them all a denarius. And when the people who worked at the beginning of the day came, they thought they were going to get a little bit more. But they just got a denarius as well, because that's what the landowner had promised them. And they said, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne, that's our word bear, the burden of the scorching heat of the day. There were many of us. No one of us could have done it, but we carried the day. We bore the heat of the day. We should get more. And the landowner said, no, you shouldn't. I promised you a denarius, and that's what I gave you. But the work that needed to be done during the heat of the day, no one man could have done. It needed to be carried by all of them. Now consider the passage that we're in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. When a man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. This is a weighty load. And it sometimes requires more than one individual. It needs to be done in a spirit of gentleness, that you too not be tempted. But it's going to be weighty. It's going to be heavy. But you need to set your mind that you are going to help this brother and restore him in a spirit of gentleness. It is a baros. It is a heavy load. And there are things we go through in life as believers that we need assistance with. It may be spiritual, as this brother who's sinning. It may be financial. It may be relationship. I don't know. Some of us have burdens that we cannot bear ourselves and we need help. And we ought to be willing to love our brother as we love ourselves and be willing to bear those burdens. Now, whose burdens are we to bear? One another's. Let's look at this in Romans chapter 12, verse 4. This almost says the same thing as Galatians chapter 6. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. There's our term, one another. Now notice where this is in the book of Romans. It's the fourth and fifth verse after Paul has given his incredible, well put together, amazing piece of literature on the doctrine of salvation by grace alone in Romans 1 through 11. And so what is the response? Well, the response is initially you need to have your mind renewed not to be conformed to the world. But then he says in verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Are you above helping your neighbor? Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He says, I want you to think as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God has given us all abilities and gifts. And we are to use them to help one another. We're not to use them to brag on ourselves, to think more highly of ourselves because we have a better gift than someone else. We're to use it in ministry to one another. And his example is, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Imagine the heart saying, I am the most important organ in the body. Without me, you can't live. That would be ridiculous. Because without the lungs, the heart can't live. Without the kidneys, the body can't live. If you get cancer in your bones, you might not live. What's the most important part of your body? I don't know. The whole body is important. And what does your body do when a part is hurt? Jam your toe on something, a chair or something like that. And what does your foot do? It grabs it. Cut your arm and start bleeding, and what does your hand do? It finds a bandage to take care of it. What do your feet do? They run somewhere to find the bandage. What do your eyes do? They look for the bandage. The whole body moves to take care of this problem. And it bears one another's burdens. The heart at that moment can't take care of the cut. The whole body has to work. And can you imagine any part of your body saying, that's beneath me. I don't take care of cuts. No, that would never happen. Now, just as a side note, when you are ministering to people, they may not always understand. Peter did not understand. You shall not wash my feet. You are more important than being someone who would ever wash my feet. I'm a nobody. You won't wash my feet. Well, then you have no part in me, Peter. Well, then wash my whole body. I'll go for it all. No, Peter. I just need to wash your feet. Peter didn't get it. Jesus was ministering to Peter so that Peter would learn to minister to others. But Peter was just thinking of himself. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, they don't all have the same function and we don't have the same function in this body. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And this is what Jose was saying this morning. If we cannot love those who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, then something is seriously wrong. How we can fail to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord is beyond me. Now, there may be ignorance, there may be selfishness that gets in the way. I understand all that. But for somebody to say, I don't like that person, I don't love that person, I'm never going to do anything for that person, I don't see how you can say that. Whether you like them or not isn't really the issue. It's whether they have a need that you can meet. And there are times when you're called to bear their burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Why? Again, think of the book of Romans. Romans chapters 1 through 11. The amazing grace of Jesus Christ, who came to earth to offer himself as a propitiation both for the Jews and the Gentiles, so that salvation is in no one else. He loved us in a way that we don't even love ourselves. If he did that for us, what should we do? We also should love one another. We love because he first loved us. And we have to love one another. What is the result of doing this? This may sound a little strange in the book of Galatians, but he said, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This word fulfill is anaplerao, which means to fill up. It has a preposition before fill. Ana means up and plerao means to fill. So it means to fill up to the brim. Jesus used the word plerao in Matthew chapter 5:17, where he said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He filled it up. He did everything that it required. But what are we supposed to fill up now? We're supposed to fulfill the law of Christ. This is the words nomon tou Christou, the law of Christ. What does John 1:17 tell us? The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There's a separation between Christ and law that John drives a wedge through. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says the following: Therefore, my brethren, you who were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. What does Christ cause? A death to the law, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. So instead of being joined to the law, you can be joined to Christ, because Christ caused you to be dead to the law. Seems like they're in two different spheres. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This word end means the finish line. The law is finished in Christ. Seems like they're disjoint sets. And in Galatians chapter 2, Paul wrote, beginning in verse 16, Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ we ourselves have been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Paul seems to drive a wedge between law and Christ so that the two don't make sense together. But now in chapter 6 he says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That sort of takes me aback a little bit. But if we look in Romans chapter 8, and verse 2, there is a law of sin and death, but there is also a law of the Spirit of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21, Paul wrote this: To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. He says, To the Jews I became like a Jew, as under the law, but to those who are not under law, I was without law, but not without law, but under the law of Christ. When Paul says he is free from the law, that doesn't mean he is free to do whatever he wants. It means he's been delivered out of one law into another. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12 tells us that very clearly. In Hebrews chapter 7, and verse 12, is Jesus a priest according to the Levites? No, for he came from the tribe of Judah. Is Jesus a priest? Yes. Then it must be a different order of priests than the Levitical priests. And Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says It's the Melchizedek order of priests that Jesus belongs to. And he says in verse 12, for when the priesthood is changed, was the priesthood changed? Yes. Of necessity, there takes place a change of law also. Not a removal of law, a change of law. So I have in your notes considered the Declaration of Independence. What did the signers of the Declaration of Independence desire? Anarchy? No, they desired to be free from England. Not free from law, but free from England's law. So that they didn't have to pay taxes to England. But what did they write soon after they won their independence? The Constitution, the law of the land. So when we talk about being free from the law, we're not free from law. We're still under obligation to do what is right. But we're no longer under the Mosaic law in any way, shape, or form. We're under a new law. Now, did England have laws against murder? Yes. Did the United States? Yes. There will be some similarities. But what do we call America? The land of the free and the home of the brave. But we're still under law. But no nation has ever been as free as we have been. So when we talk about freedom in Christ, let's not forget that we are still under obligation to walk righteously and please our Lord and Master. So what's in this new law? There's been a change of law because of a change of priesthood. What is the law of Christ? Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That doesn't sound like a new commandment, but it is. For you cannot even love yourself the way God loves you. You wouldn't practice sin if you loved yourself the way God loves you. God loves you in a way that you could never even begin to imagine how to love yourself. That's how you're supposed to love your neighbor. The standard is no longer love your neighbor as yourself, which is about as high as it gets. The standard now is love your neighbor as Christ has loved you. Sacrificially, bearing one another's burdens, and thus fulfilling the law of Christ. But then Paul says something funny. He always says something funny. Paul has always got my attention with what he says because it just seems to not make sense at first. Galatians 6, verse 5 says, for each one will bear his own load. I thought we were supposed to bear the burdens of others. Now we're supposed to bear our own load? What does that mean? Well, this word load, it's the same word bear, bastazo, but this word load is now fortion. It's not baros. Fortion is seen in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4. And Jesus said concerning the scribes and the Pharisees, they tie up heavy burdens. The word burdens is fortion. The word heavy is baros. So they use both words here. and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. What is a fortion? And how does it differ from a baros? A baros needs many people. A fortion needs one. The baros was like a huge boulder, and the fortion was like a backpack. Now, those of you who've been in the Army in basic training, you know of some huge backpacks and long runs with that backpack. But that was your load, and no one was to share it with you. But there were times when you fought the enemy, everybody had to be on the same sheet of music, and you had to bear one another's burdens and work together as a team to get the mission accomplished. That was a baros. So what do the scribes and the Pharisees do? They take your fortion and they keep putting things in it. In your backpack, you need to do more. 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 Could you help me with this? Could you help me bear? I'm not going to use a little finger to help you. I'm just going to pile it in. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees do. There's a quote by Warren Wiersbe in your bulletin. He said, the legalist is not interested in bearing burdens. Instead, he adds the burdens of others. The legalist just wants to fill your backpack, your fortion, with as much as he can. And see if you can carry it. In Psalm 38, the Greek Septuagint uses this word fortion as well. In Psalm 38, verse 4, for my iniquities have gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. Now you'd think that would be a baros, right? No, that's a fortion. That's your responsibility. It's too heavy. It's way too heavy for me. Tough. It's your responsibility. And the psalmist would say something like, you should stop worrying about taking care of, paying for the sins of your brothers, because you'll never be able to do it. But it is their fortion. It is their responsibility. But we come to John chapter 19, verse 17. And we look at this word bastazo, to bear, to carry. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Was this a baros? Or a fortion? You would have thought it was a baros. This was the heaviest load any man ever bore in his life. But it was a fortion. It was Jesus's cross to bear. And he bore it alone. So that you never would have to. So that you could be set free from the law of sin and death. He bore it all. So that he could say in Matthew chapter 11, take my yoke upon you For my yoke is easy, and my fortion, my burden is light. What I put in your backpack, you can carry. It's light. My yoke, he has a yoke and he has a fortion for you. His yoke is easy or kind or useful. And his fortion, his burden, is light. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because you've been trying to carry this backpack that people have been just stuffing with rules and regulations, and you can't carry it. But I'll give you a different one. And the reason why I can give you a different one is because I bore the fortion of fortions, the burden of burdens. I bore the cross. In the song we sang earlier, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, it says it's greater than all our sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. He took it away. He took that fortion that I could not carry, and he set me free. I'm still under the law of Christ. I can still fulfill the law of Christ by helping others bear their burdens. But he took the burden that I could not carry, that was mine alone to carry, away. And Isaac Watts says, am I a soldier of the cross? He says, sure, I must fight. It's not all easy. If I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil. I'll carry it. I know there's a burden for me to carry. I'll bear it. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by your word. So in closing, we can look at the two verses that are between these two, and notice what it says. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. You're nothing to boast about. But Christ has made you something, and you now have the ability to act like him. He bore your burden. You now are asked to bear the burdens of others. And if there's a load you're asked to carry, then carry it. But remember, you are members of one another, like a body. And we are called to love because he first loved us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing grace, for sins forgiven, for freedom from the law of sin and death, for freedom from hell and Satan and eternal death. For the privilege of knowing the true and the living God and having the hope that one day we can stand in your presence, and the promise today that we can come before your presence with boldness, seeking help and mercy in time of need. What a wonderful God you are. And thank you for all that you've done. Amen.